God can handle your pain. He can handle all your questions. He can even handle your anger. As C.S. Lewis once said, we are to lay before God what is in us, not what ought to be in us.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Life Tabernacle Church podcast. It's an honor to be with you today. This podcast serves as our church's weekly sermon archive. Tune in each week to hear what God is speaking in our community. Be sure to follow and share with a friend. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Let's go over, but I don't want to belabor the point. Let's hop right into God's word this morning. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5, and we'll read Luke 5 through 13. It will be popping up on the screen as well. Luke 5, 13. This is the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go out to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, you'll give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Over the past 10 years, I've had the privilege of traveling quite a bit. One of the places I've traveled to most is the nation of Brazil. Brazil is a beautiful country. I mean, truly beautiful. In the region that I've gone to is actually the Amazon, like, you know, the famous Amazon rainforest. It is just it's hard to describe, right? Being on the Amazon River, being in the jungle, it's just a beautiful place. But more than the land, it's the people that I've grown to love the most. Over the years, I've gotten to know many brothers and sisters in Christ there. And with every trip, my Portuguese, the language of Brazil, gets just a little better. I can confidently say things like, good morning, bom dia, good night, boa noite. Or I can say, glory to God, glória a Deus. Or I can say, fire of the Holy Spirit, o fogo de Espírito Santo. And I can even say the name of 2 regional fish, right? Those fish are tambaqui and pirarucu. And that's about it. That's about it. That's about all my Portuguese will help me with. But here's what always happens no matter when I go. Because I know just enough Portuguese, when I greet someone and I say bon dia, or I say, oh, I love tambaqui, they often assume I'm fluent in the language. They start talking fast, and they are saying something very important to them, something meaningful to them, and I'm just standing there looking at them like, I have no idea what you are saying, and I am so sorry, right? Here's the problem. I know enough Portuguese to talk to them, but I don't know enough Portuguese to talk with them. And honestly, that makes me sad. Because if I really learned their language, I wouldn't just communicate better. I would know them better. I would understand their hearts more deeply, and my love for them would only grow. And the same is true in our life with God. We don't want to just talk to God. We want to talk with God. We want to know him more. We want to love him deeper. But that requires us learning to go deeper into prayer, learning his language more fluently so that we can know his heart more intimately. Last week, We began a new series on the topic of prayer to help us grow in this very thing. Week one was all about talking to God, right? Week two is all about this, talking with God. And in the coming weeks, we'll talk about listening to God or hearing God, and last, being with God. There's a progression here. We start simple and build, just like a child learning to speak. No one-year-old wakes up and says, "Hello, mother, I'm feeling quite hungry today. I think we should go to Kroger and get the necessary ingredients to make some biscuits and gravy. Don't you think that's a good idea, mother? Let me go warm up the minivan, why don't I?" No one-year-old does that. When a one-year-old wants food, maybe the baby says, "Mama," or "Dada," right? And that's where prayer begins. Last week in the Lord's Prayer, that's what we did. We learned how to say "Our Father." We use basic language to begin communicating to God. We learned that sometimes we borrow words from the Bible, pre-made prayers, like I said, to help us talk to God. But there's so much more for us in prayer if we are willing to grow like children, humbly, relationally, and over time. Let's continue that progression of prayer by returning back to Luke chapter 11, right where we left off. Luke 11:5-8. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." This parable helps us understand who we are praying to in the posture of the one who hears our requests, right? Is Jesus saying that God is some lousy friend who only helps out when he's annoyed? No, he's saying the opposite. If even an irritated, reluctant friend will open the door because of persistence from another, how much more willing is our Father, our loving Heavenly Father, willing to respond to His children when we call upon His name? That's why Jesus continues, verse 9. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." And then Jesus immediately shifts the image from a friend to a father. Verse 11. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Do you see the movement? Do you see the progression? Jesus begins by teaching us how to talk to God, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name, right? In verses 1-4. But Jesus assumes we will grow, learning to talk with God, asking and seeking and knocking on God's door, that we are going to learn how to bring our needs, our desires, our frustrations, and longings to the Father. That's why Warren Wiersbe says this: "Prayer is not something that I do. Prayer is something that I am." My friends, we are not just reciting prayers. We are becoming people who pray, people who talk with our beloved Father. It was said of Jesus that his house would be a house of prayer. My friends, when we are learning to grow in prayer, we are becoming the house of prayer that Jesus prophetically saw in the scriptures. So, the question becomes this: what do we talk with God about? There are 3 main categories we must learn to bring to God in prayer as we talk with Him. The 3 categories are this. Number 1, gratitude, talking with God about what is good. Number 2, lament, talking with God about what is broken. Number three, petition and intercession, asking God to fulfill his promises and overcome evil with good. Let's take a look at each briefly. For the first one, gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's a story, and I've told this story before, from a book called The Hiding Place, which was written by Corrie Ten Boom. There's a story of when Corrie Ten Boom and her sister once endured the horrors of a German prison camp during World War II. Her sister famously thanked God for the fleas in the barracks in which they were stuck in, based on this very verse. She learned, as these fleas are biting her skin and bothering her, right? Being a pest. She learned to say, "God, thank you for the fleas." And Corrie was just flabbergasted. How could you thank God for the fleas? Later on, they realized those fleas were the reason why the guards always stayed away from that room, allowing them to preach the gospel freely to thousands of women. For they had smuggled one of these Bibles in their coat pocket into the barracks. And because of the fleas that overwhelmed this place, the guards never went in there, which allowed them to preach the gospel to countless individuals. Point being, we too, like Corrie and her sister, must learn to say thank you in all circumstances, for that's what the scriptures say. So, when you talk with God, it might sound like this: "God, thank you for the breath in my lungs. Thank you for the food on my table. Thank you for my family. Thank you for providing for my needs. Thank you that even all the snow and ice that we have outside are going to lead to a beautiful spring." Right? We must learn to give gratitude to God, because the opposite can happen. Ingratitude, which is the opposite of gratitude, has a way of leading our hearts astray. Ignatius of Loyola once said that ingratitude is this: the failure to recognize the good things, the graces, and the gifts received. And it is the cause, beginning, and origin of all evil and sin. Wow. Gratitude keeps our hearts rightly oriented towards God. So this week, throw on that good old song, Gratitude, by Brandon Lake, and just begin to thank God. "I throw up my hands, I praise you again and again, because all my heart can sing is hallelujah," right? Point being, number one thing we can talk with God about is things that we're grateful for in our lives. And I tell you this, if you begin looking around in your life, you're going to find plenty to thank God for. That's the first thing we're going to talk with God about. It's gratitude. The second category that we must learn to talk with God about is this: lament. Lament is a word we don't use very often in our language. It simply means bringing our sorrow, anger, frustration, and pain before God. This is where intimacy with God often grows the deepest. It's easy to talk about what's going well in our lives. It's much harder and much more relational and much more honest to talk about with what hurts in our life. When you sit down over coffee with a close friend or a family member and they begin to entrust you with their pain and hurt, your hearts grow closer together. The same is true with God. And there's plenty to lament in this world, my friends. There's plenty of things that break our heart. Loss of loved ones, lack of resources, unexpected illness, hate between neighbors, the death of the unborn, abuse of power, and the mockery of God himself. Look and listen closely, my dear friends. God can handle your pain. He can handle all your questions. He can even handle your anger. As C.S. Lewis once said, we are to lay before God what is in us, not what ought to be in us. The Psalms are filled with lament. There's a whole book in the Bible dedicated to lament called Lamentations. And even Jesus himself lamented before the Father. In Matthew 26:38, then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Even Jesus was able to lament to God and his friends that I feel very sad and very angry and I'm overwhelmed. I think if we practice lament more, I believe we would experience deeper peace. I don't think we need to pretend with God. We don't need to fake it till we make it with God. So if you're happy, tell him. If you're angry, tell him. If you're upset, tell him. If you're disappointed, tell him. If you're overwhelmed, tell him. If you are at your wit's end, if you feel like I'm not going to make it another day, tell him. He wants to hear you. And here's the thing. Quick note on this. We don't tell him these things just because we want him to fix it. Of course, we want God to fix our stuff. But that's not the primary way or primary reason we lament. We lament just to give God our hearts that are broken so that he can put them back together. That's why we lament. It's not normal in our culture. It's not something that many of us do. And I'm not talking that we just make it dramatic either. Point is, we must learn to give God gratitude, but we also must learn how to lament and mourn to God. Because if we don't learn to lament to God, we're going to lament on Facebook or to others in a gossipy way. And my friends, I'm being honest, as your pastor, I've done this before. I've been deeply hurt in the past. Instead of just taking it all to the Lord, sometimes I've overshared with friends. And on another note, it's okay to share certain things you go through with your friends and family. That's fine. Point being, though, if we don't first give it to God, we're going to begin to derail and devolve into trying to find healing in others where we can only find it in God. There's nuance there. It's kind of a gray area, but I hope you get what I'm saying. So, again, don't pretend with God. Just tell him what is on your heart. That's all. So, as the old church hymn says, if you know it, sing it. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Take it all to him. This is lament. And the last category that we can talk with God about is this: petition and intercession. Petition is asking God to act on your behalf. Intercession is asking God to act on someone else's behalf. Even though God knows our needs even before we ask him, he invites us to ask. They both fall under Jesus' command. Both petition and intercession fall under Jesus' command to ask, seek, and knock. Asking is not the same as thinking either. Prayer requires words. Just because you're thinking about things that upset you or things that are not going well in your life, it's not the same thing as actually giving it to him in prayer. We ask the Father humbly, like children, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, for whatever we ask, seek, or desire. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. Prayer is one way we participate in God's now but not yet kingdom. God desires to move on the earth, but he invites us to partner with him so that he can work through us and around us through our petition and intercession. But what happens when answers don't come right away? Jesus addresses that too. Go to Luke 18. Let me read verses 1 through 8. Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting it off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This parable teaches persistence in prayer. The point is not that God is unjust or annoyed like in our first story that we read. The point is that even if an unjust judge will respond to a woman who doesn't matter to him, how much more will our good Father bring justice to the lives of his children and bring his kingdom down to this earth? Jesus then ends with a haunting question that we have to wrestle with and we have to sit with. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? My friends, will he find faith when he returns? The context of this parable that he gives, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is giving a teaching on the end times. And so he's wanting them to endure to the end. He's wanting them to persist in prayer until he, the Son of Man, returns to make all things right. And he ends with that haunting question, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find us praying and seeking and asking and knocking until he returns? Because faith keeps knocking. Faith keeps asking. Faith keeps talking with God. So petition and intercession. You have a need in your life, you go to God and ask God for it. You say, Father, I know that you love me. Thank you that your Son has saved me, and thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit. Lord, I need a new and better job. I need you to provide for these needs. Open up the door and let your will be done. Show me what you want and provide for what I need. That's a petition. Or a form of intercession is simply this. Lord, my dear brother and sister is dealing with cancer in their body. Lord, bring healing to them. Let your kingdom come. Or in a broader sense, and this is something that our church has to begin going after, and the church in general needs to go after, we need to begin calling on God. Not just for a little revival that we can post about and say is so cool. We need to begin seeking the face of God, that there would be such a move of God in the earth that millions would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would tarry at the altar for real revival. This is petition and intercession, but the question is, will he find faith? It's easy to show up to prayer meeting once. It's easy to pray a few mornings during the week, but can we do that every single day for 50 years, for 70 years, for 100 years? Will he find faith when he returns to the earth? So, this week, whether you come to God with gratitude or lament or petition and or intercession, remember this. God wants you to talk with him because he loves you and he wants to know you. Even more, he wants you to know him. And when we talk with him, and next week we're going to look at hearing from God, when we talk with him, we get to know him better. And when we get to know him better, it changes everything. Amen? So ask, seek, knock. Learn his language a little bit more this week. Enjoy talking with him this week. Enjoy talking with the one who loves you the most. Shalom.